Hi, I'm Susan Clark.
And I'm Chris Marie Campbell.
Welcome to the Beauty of Conflict podcast. Have you ever wanted to take some of what you've learned on the podcast to the next level? Well, check out our new step-by-step, easy-to-use team kit to get your team from avoiding conflict to discovering the beauty in conflict.
To learn more, go to www.thriveinc.com/teamkit. That's www.thriveinc.com/teamkit.
Hi, this is Susan, and today we want to talk to you about transitions. And part of why we want to talk about that is that on a global level, we're in a pretty significant transition. I don't know about you, but last year, we were still in quarantine. There was a global pandemic kind of raging all over the world in different stages. Things were much quieter, really. There was hardly any traffic in our small town here in Whitefish. And let's just say that is very different a year later. And it's different all over our country, not just our country, but all over the world. People are at different stages of a transition coming out of a global pandemic.
It's true, Susan. This is Chris Marie. We've been sheltering in place and now people are coming out and it creates a whole bunch of even business transitions because now I might have to go to the office or half my team might be in the office and half my team might be virtual. That's a whole different, how do we handle that?
And I was even talking to someone today who has a dog walking business. And I mean, who would have thought of the transition for a dog? Not me, but they were dealing with this like huge growth in their business because let's face it, everyone got a dog during the transition and now they have to go back
not during the transition, during the quarantine.
Well, that's amazing. Yes. And now they're going back to work and they're having to deal with that dog. So I would have never thought that that would have been a big monster business opportunity for a dog walker.
Yeah. Growth industry is dog walking.
Yes.
And let's just step back. Like we're going to talk about all sorts of transitions, whether they're big or small. And just to give you kind of some grounding on what a transition is or how we define it, a change can happen. Like we all were able to walk around free without masks. And then the next day we got an order that said, no, we have to stay at home. That's the change. Like you can go to work, you can't, you know, in person. So it's when one thing changes and that's pretty quick. Transition is an internal process of reorienting to the new way. And William Bridges defines it as a 3-stage process of ending, which is all about grief, this neutral zone where you're like, well, I'm not in the old world, I'm not in the new world. And I'll talk more about these different pieces. And then the new beginning, like you get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that happened when we did go into quarantine, like, oh my gosh.
That was a pretty abrupt
yes.
change. You know, it was like announced and then it
happened.
It happened.
And you know, endings are about a lot of loss, a loss of routine, a loss of attachment. So I have my people at work that I talk to, or meaning or purpose. Actors and theater people could no longer do their craft. That's a huge loss of meaning and purpose. That's just one category of people that couldn't work.
I was even thinking of the big things that showed up at that time, because a lot of times people didn't realize that going to work, a huge part of their transition was their ride through traffic coming home. Now, I would have thought of that as a painful experience in my day to have to drive through traffic. But I don't know how many people I talked to last year, coaching wise, who were like, oh, that I realize now that was one of the best parts of my day because it really helped me separate work from home. It was the transition and allowed me to do that, even if I was complaining about the traffic the entire time.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when you bring up transition in that context, Susan, I think it really is a way, transitions are a way that we digest our experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you think about when you were in the office, those of you that worked in offices, you had a meeting and then, you know, you left the meeting and you're sitting there, well, gosh, you know, what do you think about that idea? I'm not sure we can do that. That's us digesting the topic of the meeting before we get back to our desks and then have to start in a new task.
Yes.
That completely shifted with Zoom meetings because apparently nobody had any self-control to end 10 minutes early so people would have time, nor were they were those natural connections, like we're walking out of the room together, so I'm going to chat with you because
yeah.
you're just...
Emojis, little hands clapping and hearts were the best thing we had to express anything at the end of the meeting. And frankly, that just really doesn't do it
for
a good transitional experience.
I have to tell you, I was coaching this woman. She's got a great sense of humor. And she said, you know, I think what's missing on Zoom and Teams is you need some sort of laugh track. Like, because, you know, everybody's muted. somebody says something funny, but you don't hear anything because everybody's muted. Maybe you can see some people, but you don't get that energetic connection. That's a little sideline, but what the limitations of the virtual world and that felt sense of connecting with another human being.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think, Chris, it might be a good time to go back to even for you, why you brought up, why do this podcast now? Because I could see it from a big global perspective, but you had a very personal experience that led you to wanting to talk about it.
I did. I lift weights at Straight Blast Gym, SBG, and I was lifting weights and, you know, my mentality was like, okay, I want to go on to the next exercise. I don't want to take a break. I just want to get through this exercise. And Taylor, my coach, said, you know, when you're going so fast, you're going through the motions, you're not getting the benefits. You're in fight or flight and you're just trying to get through it. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty much it. She said, well, if you slow down and pause in between sets and let your body, you know, catch up and rest, you're going to get so much more benefit. And if you, while you're doing the exercise, if you actually are more present and don't try to do it so quickly, you're going to actually, your body's going to respond. Even if you lessen the weight, your body's going to get the benefit. And I really got how much of my world, like, because now we're also hiking, because we're training to do this 7-mile, 3,500 foot elevation hike in September. And so Susan and I have started training. And I'm like, oh my God, when can we be done with this hike?
Oh, we took our first, this is Susan speaking. We took our first, you know, kind of hiking, what, you know,
training hike.
And there were three of us. And Chris Marie just took off. And I remember as though I'm going to get this done as fast as I can, which is often a pace she takes on at the start of something. And our other friend who was hiking, she has a very slow, deliberate pace. And I was kind of like, I actually chose to go at the back because I actually like trying to figure out how to be in between these two different paces. And I, at one point, Chris Marie just realized I can't do this at this pace.
I got to the first mile was like 1,000 feet up. And it was in a mile and I got to the top and I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm going to die. I need a bar. I need water. I need to sit down. And I realized I was just trying to get through. And at the time we didn't know it was a 5-mile hike. We thought it was a 2 or 3 mile hike. And that's often what's going on for me. How can I get done with this? How can I go on to the next thing? And what I realize is, you know, as a little human, we all have our own pacing and we're in this world of big people that come in and say, hurry up. We got to go. And it interrupts our natural connection to ourselves. And I realize I spend a lot of time in fight or flight, like doing things fast, because I'm not kind of connected to my own natural rhythm. And so I'm not letting myself transition or even be present in the activity, nor have that transition so I can be present in the following activity.
I mean, there are so many great examples of this. Like, I really like what, you know, your trainer was saying to you. You know, if you don't take that pause and you just stay in fight or flight the whole time, your body it's not really a helpful state.
Yeah.
I remember when I was younger, you know, I complained about having to pray at the dinner table because I just was like, why are we doing this? You know, like, I didn't really get it. And it was, you know, to my parents' credit, you know, my mother said, it is the transition so that you can actually, a prayer is a simple transition from doing one thing to being grateful for being able to do another. So no matter what you believe or whatever it's about, this is why we do it.
That's great. Because I think, you know, so often the same thing happens. Like I sit down at the table and I shovel food in my face and I'm not really present. So thinking about how much transitions help us digest our previous experience and then be open and available in a much more powerful way for what's next, like gratitude for eating.
Yeah.
And even Taylor said, you know, one of the best things, and she said this around athletes, she said, what separates a good athlete from a great athlete is their breath.
Mm.
When you actually slow down and take breath, you're becoming more present with your body, and deeper breaths versus those fast, shallow breaths, which are the fight or flight up in the top of your chest, but down in your abdomen, and synchronize your breath to your activity. Your weightlifting is what I was doing, and exhale when you're doing the work. And really focusing on your breath is a way to get present. And I think it helps. So really it's about this presence quality.
Yeah. Because I mean, you talked about your kind of weightlifting experience. The other time this has come up for both of us is in a meditation weekend we're in regularly. And often in meditation, the emphasis on, you know, don't just jump out of meditation. Yeah. Take that, because if you do get to a place in meditation, you don't want to just kind of not pay attention to how you open your eyes, how you get back out in the world.
Yeah, that transition from being in this inner state, and what our yoga meditation teacher says is, you know, open your eyes slowly and don't, you know, pop out. And also turn your head and I find some things in the room, like to locate yourself. It's a way to be gentle with yourself, which we don't live in a very gentle society, but that doesn't mean we can't cultivate a sense of gentleness with ourselves, compassion, that helps us become more present and available.
Yes. And so, I mean, and these transitions, again, they come up in so many different ways. I even think of, like, I know a classic one for me is if I fall, like I'm out running and I fall down, sometimes, you know, not paying attention to my feet, or there's a root in the root, you know, and there is a sense, first off, the first thing is I just want to jump back up and keep going. There's absolutely no way that I want to stay down for any length of time. And so it's like, you will often say to me, Susan, take a moment. Just, I don't remember when the first time you told me that, but it has been so helpful because I do think, you know, it's like, take a moment, just take a moment and see if you're really okay. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think that I have seen you do it and I've seen the difference when you pause. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, I think in our minds, we're really, really fast, but our bodies are primitive beings that operate at a slower pace. Our nervous systems need to catch up. And so it is important to pause and see what is happening. It's the same thing of trying to even work out quickly. It's, you know, jumping over so I don't feel it. Really, I'm trying not to mm-hmm. feel it. I'm trying to not feel the pain of the hike and not feel the pain of the weight, but I miss the benefit and I'm not really present. Same idea. Like, I don't want to feel this pain and embarrassment that I fell. Could be that even.
It could be, you know. And, you know, there's another point about thinking of transition, like in transition is usually where we do things, where we do some form of ritual to honor a loss or to celebrate something that just happened. And those are huge opportunities that, you know, our culture, we've lost some of that.
Yeah, I agree.
But it is such an important, you know, their developmental state. I mean, I guess now they do have graduations for like 5-year-olds. So I'm not sure we really got the point of those transitions. Sometimes we just created a lot of things.
No, but I think, you know, the more natural cultures have that transition where, you know, from when somebody is going from a child to a young adult, they go out into the wilderness and have to, you know, fight the battle or whatever. And that is to let that person know, hey, I can do this, develop that sense of confidence and honor that transition.
I do think that's the point of it. And it should be a valuable, I always think it's important to pay attention to how you create those types of rituals and do they have meaning and purpose or are you just racing through them?
It's so true.
And it, you know.
So I do think it speaks to that primal, we don't recognize we are actually primal animals that are very smart and that weddings, funerals, whatever, when somebody comes out at that age to society or whatever, different versions of that, mm-hmm. that adolescent transition are important markers for us. And we respond to it. Mm-hmm. Like when we actually got married, this is before it was legal. We had a wedding and our parents came and two brides and both dads walked us down the aisle. It was very sweet. We had about a 40-person, you know, attendance to this and everybody at Sleeping Lady Lodge came out to watch these two women get married. But afterwards, my parents were so different. And I think your parents were too, like, oh, is Susie going to get on the phone? Like all of a sudden we were a unit. And by the way, they have already called us for our wedding anniversary. They're a week early, but they are the ones that recognize our wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
These certain types of experiences, and especially, I mean, what I loved about that was we actually, it wasn't just the ceremony. We had a whole weekend, a variety of different things that went on during that time.
We had team building for our families.
And we had friends who said to us, we're going to take this over because you guys shouldn't be doing it. You can just participate, hang out, watch, be a part of it. And that was so cool.
It was.
And, you know, there's all these things Like, I even think, let's talk about the Olympics. Why not? Because the Olympics, you know, it's an interesting thing. It's happening right now. Might be happening as this podcast comes out. As a matter of fact, so is our wedding anniversary. Probably, most likely. They're all happening at the same time. That's important true. Events. But the Olympics, you know, was canceled last year. And that was postponed. It's only been canceled three times, and that's been related to big wars, you know.
A pandemic is a pretty good reason.
It's a pretty good reason to cancel it and move it forward. But, you know, and I know there's all sorts of questions as to whether the Olympics should have even happened this time, because it seems like it's been more about the politics or the money or the budget. But I also think there is this thing that the Olympics does represent. The world is coming together. There are these athletes coming together.
You're right. It is another ceremony that has real meaning.
It does. And yes, it has all of the fallacies of our human nature in it as well. Like too much advertising, maybe not paying attention to anything but the goal or whatever. Yeah. But it also is about that. I mean, I can even just talk about it and feel a little teary about it. And you always talk about your Olympic experience, Chris Marie, and that moment of walking out into the arena.
Well, yes. I mean, I think that's why they have the opening ceremonies. It is such, that is like a lifetime experience for me to come out of, you're in this. Now, this is where in 1988 in Seoul, the athletes are in this holding area, basically a big soccer field or something. And we're all in our parade uniforms waiting while everybody else is being entertained inside. And then, so we were talking to all the different, we could go socialize with the different countries. And then when you come out, when I came out of the tunnel, so you go into the tunnel and you come out. So it's dark in the tunnel. You come out and this big giant wave of, the crowd hit my chest.
I mean, and I imagine this year it's a little bit like Zoom meetings. It wasn't quite the same for the athletes because they probably didn't have that, but we watched it. You could watch it on TV.
They are advertising it. So I was driving in the car today and they're advertising the opening ceremonies, which will have passed by this time, but on all the different radio stations. NBC is a host, you know, it already happened in real time, but, you know, this morning in Tokyo, our time. But so they're really trying to get the world engaged via television to watch the Olympic opening ceremonies.
That's an interesting twist, because it's been a long time since radio was the way that something was heard or seen, or the visual, you know. And there's so many ways in which right now, because we aren't going to all be there in person. So it is different. But I imagine too, for those athletes, the ones, there's still that thing of all these different people from all over the world.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure. And how important the opening ceremonies are, just as much like when I went to the closing ceremonies, I remember thinking, oh my gosh, it's over. Like, but it was an important demarcation again of the ending of the games. And it really hit me. So these ceremonies are really important, whether they're these big giant ones like the Olympics or weddings or funerals or...
And think about even, you know, whether it's in the context of business, in the context of sport, in the context, you know, we talk a lot with our clients about the notion of you need to celebrate successes. And that's kind of that idea. Like sometimes we're pretty good. I don't know if we really do a good job of dealing with the bad stuff, but we at least make a big scene about it.
Most businesses will do, healthy businesses will do a post-mortem, they call it, like what worked, what didn't, let's learn from this. But a lot of times when businesses succeed, they're like, okay, on to the next. And it's like, whoa, if you slow down and take time to anchor and celebrate the success and talk about how it was, it's going to live in your culture so much more, and it's going to reinforce. It's again, it's that digestion. It gets into your system in a whole different way that helps people take that forward.
Yeah. And I do believe our ability to digest that, like to celebrate the wins when we need to do it and to kind of debrief a loss is so critical to what happens next. I mean, I have this saying, it's not what you do, it's what you do next. Yeah. And that to me is all about being willing to have that transitional moment so that you can actually be present for the next moment and not just in some form of, you know, self-hate or whatever.
Well, I think, you know, this brings up a point about like when people don't get over, whether it's a death of a spouse or an important person or a loss, like for me, they kind of live in this in-between zone where they can't quite let go. And for me, coming out of the Olympics, we didn't win the medal we were expected to win. And I was like in a 10-year kind of purgatory. And I don't think that's uncommon for people who have lost somebody or had a failure. They kind of stay stuck in that until I let myself kind of digest the feelings. And that's how I met you, and I processed my feelings, and because I didn't even know, I was just kind of stuffing down how I felt and carrying on. And when I processed my grief and my rage and all that, wow, I was so much more open and could go on and create new things. That's why we created our business. And I started painting, acting, dancing, all that stuff came out of, but I was kind of in this stuck spot. And so many people, even war vets, get stuck in PTSD and don't process through that to kind of live on.
So, I mean, I think the message here is to really pay attention to the big transitions for sure. Like what, and recognizing that in some fashion, your life has been impacted in the last year and a half by all that's going on, and to honor and recognize that. And to also pay attention to the little transitions throughout your day. How do you move from one thing to the next?
Before you get too kind of wrapping up, I just want to talk about, like, a lot of times we work with businesses, like there's a merger between two cultures, or somebody buys somebody else and they've got to figure out. And a lot of times what happens is these three stages that I talked about in the beginning, the ending, the neutral zone, and the new beginning. Somebody that starts at that company right away, brand new, they hired, they go right into the new beginning. They're dealing with a different transition of changing jobs. But as far as that company culture, this is all they've known. So it's easy. But for people who are like, no, I like the old way we were, or even, no, I want to work at home. I don't want to go back to the office. People can get stuck in that ending phase. And if you get stuck there, you're probably in a company going to eventually leave the organization because the organization is going to keep moving on. Mm-hmm. Most people have a little, you know, endings, then that in between, like, oh gosh, I'm not in the old company. I don't know how to do this. And there's this time, one of the things I want to say, when you're in this neutral zone, this in between, which we kind of are in this coming out of quarantine, it's your productivity goes down because you're having to figure out just basic stuff that becomes normal. Like, well, what days do I go to the office? When do I go to the office? Which office, if you have that option, you know, and there's all this processing power. It's like when you move and, you know, like Susan, I think when we moved from Seattle to Montana, you were like, I'm home, right? Yeah. It happened really quickly. When I moved, I was like, oh my gosh, where am I going to get my hair done? How do I buy clothes here? You know, where, what good restaurants, you know? And it took me about 2 years before I'd admit we lived in Montana.
Yeah, we actually had a little apartment in Seattle to try to help you with that transition. So we all do, we have transitional objects, you know?
So just in those times when you're in that place where you're in that in-between time, you want to, the acronym that Bridges coined was CUSP. Control, what can you control? What do you need to understand? What support do you need? So it's helpful to have support by friends or family or a coach. And what's your purpose? What's your short-term purpose?
Yes, that's probably the key thing.
And, you know, Susan, when we went into quarantine, all of a sudden it was like, well, our clients went away, all our speaking opportunities. We were like, okay, well, we can control, we can do video.
That's when we did the morning show.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that was our new purpose was to do these daily video things to support people. That's what we could control. We started doing stress presentations to support other people. Mm-hmm. And understanding what it was like to live at home. So just be thinking about what can you control? What do you need to understand? What support do you need? And what's your short-term purpose if you're in the middle of a transition?
Mm-hmm. And pay attention as you do that to, because we're each going through this in our own unique ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's so easy right now to get polarized around positions, whether it's, you know, are people going to be vaccinated or not vaccinated? Do you have to prove you're vaccinated to go into a store or not? How are you going to, you know, and to have some compassion for yourself, because likely the way you've gotten control is to have a pretty firm position one way or the other about that.
Make somebody right and somebody wrong.
And that, you know, that may help you feel like you're in control. But remember, that's what we're all doing. So have some compassion for the person who might be on the other side of your position. And remember that, you know, this is kind of still in that transition. We're not through it yet. So there is no right way to do this per se. You can only get the information you can get and the best you can do it. So be compassionate with yourself and with others.
And be curious about others.
Yeah.
And I think also what you were saying, Susan, you're kind of going to, and notice the transitions in your day.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's so easy. I get off a meeting and then, okay, I race in to have lunch and then jump on another meeting. And that's really not treating myself very well. Like we were in this 4-day training class on East Coast time from 7:30 to 2 our time, 7:30 in the morning. And I tell you, in the afternoon, I just tanked. So what I did is I turned off my video. I brought my little laptop into my bedroom, put it on my bed, and I laid down and listened. But that was one way that I could take care of myself because I was like full.
Yeah. And it, you know, and I think about it like part of 7:30 doesn't sound super early, but why it was so early is because there's a lot of things we do as a transition to start our morning. That's and if true. We were going to do them, we had to be up at like 5:30 to get everything done, you know?
Because so, we do yoga and meditation, we do writing, we read and we plan.
You might have wanted to look at our transitional time and have it be a little more user-friendly.
Right. And I think it's so important to transition. Well, we obviously believe in this, like take time before you pop out of bed to start working. Like, what do you need to do to connect to yourself? And then at the end of your day, especially if you're not commuting, what would support you? Like, we usually take an evening walk as a way. It's one, it's a, to digest our day because we talk about our day, and it's a demarcation. Okay, I'm putting work away and now I'm shifting gears. And just don't minimize your own need for a transition.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a long transition. You can do a 1-minute transition, you know, something. As long as you start to be more conscious and aware, it will start to make a big impact.
I think the last thing that you made me think about is just how simple one way to pay attention to transition is notice your breath, your inhale and your exhale. Mm-hmm. Even that willingness to notice will tell you something. And most people don't even know whether they're shallow breathers or deep breathers or if their inhale equals their exhale because we've never paid that much attention to it. Mm-hmm. And that is something you can do in a nanosecond.
It's true. I mean, I noticed this week I was uncomfortable and it was almost like I was trying to get away from myself. Like, oh, could I eat something? Could I drink something? If I did more work, would that help? And it wasn't until I actually paused and recognized, oh, something in me is so afraid. And I just put my hands on my heart and my belly. And I was like, I'm okay, you know, and settled down in that breath, that slowing down. It's like I caught up to myself.
Yeah.
And I shifted. It was very different.
A great way to put it. Mm-hmm. Stay, you know, don't let yourself get too far ahead.
And let yourself recognize you're having a lot of experiences and it's important. We are still primal beings that need to digest our experiences. So whether you need to chat about your day or take a walk or write or give yourself time to digest and connect the dots because your energy will come up. You'll be more present to the next thing that occurs.
Yes. All right. Thanks for joining us. Well, thanks for joining us. We hope you found today's episode valuable. If you want to take some of what you've learned on today's episode to the next level, check out our new step-by-step, easy-to-use team kit to get your team from avoiding conflict to discovering the beauty in conflict.
Go to www.thriveinc.com/teamkit to learn more. That's www.thriveinc.com/teamkit.